Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I got a great, great crew here today. I got Bubba Jenkins, Bellator star.
Yay, yay.
National champion.
I got to find a new noise, man.
Yes.
Hoo hoo. There it is.
Hoo-dee-hoo.
Bubba Jenkins, hoo-dee-hoo.
Tyler Bowe, the great comedian who's moving. This fucking guy is leaving us.
Yeah, headed north. Portland, Oregon, you guys. If you got listeners up
Oregon
there,
ducks
look out for me.
His wife got a job, right?
She got a fantastic job. That's where I was born and raised. All my family's up there. So it's kind of bittersweet, but it's going to be like a bit of a homecoming for me. So.
All right. Great. And then also CB Gold is with us. How are you, man?
What's up, guys?
I want to thank our sponsor, Tip a Fighter. Listen, Bubba Jenkins saw how fighters were being treated and didn't like it. This dude's an entrepreneur. He said, you know what? I'm going to change that. I'm going to make it so that the fans can tip the fighters. And that's what we can do. Okay, you like the way that a fighter performs? You like the way his knockout, like a submission? You can actually tip the fighter. Like I said, Kyra Butera put this girl on a twister and then pounded the crap out of her. And I was like, you know what? I'm tipping this girl. That was amazing. There's all kinds of great fighters on Tip a Fighter. Bubba's on it. Pitbull's on it.
We just signed Aljamain Sterling.
Aljamain Sterling is on it. Okay, he's fighting Brian Caraway coming up. You like the way Aljamain fights? Throw Aljamain some money. Kevin Lee is on it. Some great, great fighters. Some Panny Kanzad is on it.
We might get an Aljamain versus Caraway Tip a Fighter contest thing going.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
We're just looking to get the fans involved and the fighters involved.
I like it. So, tipafighter.com, find out who's in it, and throw these guys some money. Let's see. How's it going, Adam? Adam, I'm doing well. I had a good week. I did a show Saturday it was like a private show for lawyers and judges. It was about 50 judges and lawyers. I get up there, there's a podium. It's never good to have a podium in front of you as a comic. and of course, the mic wasn't working.
Did you get a little gavel?
No, but it was fun. I was actually, the mic was so bad. It was like, oh, God, really? You guys couldn't sound check this? But I started making fun of each judge and lawyer individually, and then they went crazy. They were having a great time. One guy came up to me afterwards. He's like, hey, man, listen, I just want to let you know, if you get in some fucked up problems, I'm your lawyer. He goes, I represent Donald Sterling. I'm like, thanks, man. Like, I'm great you have confidence that I'm going to get in some foot. Like, so he gave me his card. But yeah, that was great. And then I saw Jake Ellenberger because I was down. It was in the OC, so I hung out with him. Went to Hooters, watched a fight. It was great seeing Jake. And that was really it. I had a great show last night at the Ha Ha. And it was actually like, it was one of those shows where you're just like, man, the crowd was just, You get on stage and you just, it's like the laughter just shoots through you. And I'm like, man, this is what I was born to do.
Yeah.
It makes up for all those times that you're up there going, what did I do with my life? Why am I up here? What am I doing?
And then how short does that feeling last? Like, you feel amazing for like the rest of the night, maybe, and then it kind of goes away, right?
Well, then later that night, me and the girlfriend met up. We watched, she never saw Puss in Boots. So we watched Puss in Boots because what happened was we were in a cat mood. So, yeah, so that was cool. Oh, yeah. This girl I know, Jen Sturger, she actually adopted 10 kittens. She's fostering them, and I'm debating whether I should take one. They're really, really cute. They're Russian blues. They're like a couple weeks old. I know I already have two cats and a dog, but I don't know. It's tempting.
You're turning into that guy?
Yes.
I did see the cat, though. It was a cute cat, but.
You should get another dog just to even out the.
No, that's a cat's so easy. You don't have to do anything. You just put litter. You pet them, water, cat litter, food. It's not like it's a huge ordeal.
Yeah.
And Bubba, how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm good, man. You know, I'm just in these streets, making sure my family's taken care of, making sure we're staying healthy and happy. Watching the news, reading shit. You know, keeping my brain muscled up.
Like it. Tyler, you?
Good, man. I had a fun weekend. I went out to Vegas for Friday night for the Dirty at 12:30 at the South Point. I had a killer show out there. Took some young guys out there with me to do a couple of short sets. And then I closed it out, and we drank a bunch, and then had steak and eggs at 4 in the morning, and then drove home.
Drove home that morning?
No. We slept a little bit, and then we drove home. But then I did a set at I went over to CB's to watch the fights, man.
What was that like?
That was – it was interesting. I didn't know what to expect. I was driving up into these Hollywood Hills, man, just kept going all the way up to his folks' house, which is crazy nice. They've got a bathroom that's completely mirrors.
Wow.
You walk in, and when you're taking a piss, you can see your dick from like 15 different angles.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive.
That room could get scary for some people.
Oh, because your dick's so small? I hear you, man.
But yeah, we hung out. We watched the fights. I met some of CB's friends.
What were they like?
They were pretty normal, man.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's the craziest news I've heard all year. And CB, what's going on with you?
Nothing much, man. Just finished up watching the pups. Folks came home last night. Had a little get-together for the fights. Yesterday, cleaned up the house. Probably did more house cleaning yesterday than I've done in my entire life. But
you know, thanks for the invite, though.
Gotta make it presentable to fucking for my mom to get home, and then I'm back on.
Gotcha. How many black guys were in attendance, Bo?
Zero.
None.
Zero.
Oh, well, that's cool. I could have been talking black guy, but you know, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's talk
about a couple things. First of all, we gotta get to UFC 198. We gotta talk about. All right, let's start off with Will Brooks getting fired or getting dropped from Bellator. I don't understand this at all.
Fired, dropped, released. I mean, what's the difference,
right.
really?
The guy has won 9 fights in a row or 8 fights in a row. He's the champion. Record of 17-1. He's a beast, and they drop him. Bellator, this is not a good look for Bellator. I mean, I understood when Bjorn Rebney released Ben Askren. That made no sense. And then it was like, okay, Coker's going to come in and change things a little bit. And I don't know. I don't see much change. And I don't understand why he got. I think he tweeted out that he might have to take a job at Target to make more money than he does in Bellator. I think that must have pissed people off. At the same time, if Bernie Sanders gets elected, I think minimum wage is now $100 an hour. So that maybe that. But I mean, you're more on the inside of this. What happened?
First of all, you'd never want to bite the hand that feeds you, especially publicly. I mean, you can say what you want to your wife behind doors, you know, but when you're in the public and you're a champion for an organization, you want to be as, you know, they did put you, you did put yourself in that position, but they did, you know, get you to that point. They did. It's a marriage, you know what I mean? So you want to be respectful on that point. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. Everyone knows that. But, you know, like you said, it's not the best look for a Bellator, but. You know, if you're a champion and you you get released, you know, you go to any other organization as probably the highest free agent because you're a champion. You know what I mean? You go anywhere and negotiate whatever contract because you're a champion. So that's a good look for him. But, you know,
I don't know how
many times I got to tell you this, Adam.
It's not a sport.
But CB Gold, but guys, Tyler Bowe, but... It ain't about the sport.
The guys in the UFC, I mean, you see it all the time, fighters being like, when am I going to get a fight? This is bullshit. And I feel like it kind of adds to the whole getting
Aljamain
the fans.
Aljamain Sterling was saying that he was going to be, you know, quit and be a teacher or something like that.
I think as a person in charge of Bellator or the UFC, I would think that you must understand that we're talking about people that fight in a cage for a living. Okay? They're not necessarily the best business people. They're not the best emotional.
Unless you're, you know, trying to put things together. But yeah, go ahead.
They're not the most emotional, stable people. Most stable people. And you know what? People might act out once in a while. And you don't just get rid of the champ. A guy who's won 8 fights in a row. What are you doing, Bellator? We talk about this every other week. What are you doing? CB, your thoughts?
From what I read this morning, he asked for his release and pressured him enough that he wanted out.
Okay. All right. Well, then I take it back.
He was really unhappy there, and they weren't really trying to give him even the time of day. So he got released. But I am happy with the other move they made this weekend.
Which is what?
Pulling Minnikov's title.
Yeah.
So the heavyweight title is now
vacant. Yeah, you've been calling for that for a while now.
It's been over 2 years. His last fight was the beginning of April in 2014, but he's taken 3 fights in Russia in the last 6 months.
All right. So that happened.
Did he win?
Now, what?
Did he win those?
He won all 3, yeah.
Let's talk about the UFC fights. I'm so proud of Stipe Miocic. Here's a guy who is a great guy, an EMT, a fireman, a role model, a college baseball player, a boxer, a college wrestler. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I met the guy. He was super cool, super nice, fun, interacts with fans. And I think Verdum just got, look, you know, you're fighting for the title. You're the champion. You're the best. When he walked out, I'm watching the fight with Ellenberger, and he's making those goofy faces.
Ugh.
I'm like, this is not a good sign. I understand being relaxed. It's another thing that, like, you know, you'd think he was playing with his 2-year-old nephew, and he's like, oh, look at my face. Like, I knew it was a bad sign. Right away, I go, Jake, I don't think this is good. And so then he walks out. You know, they start the fight. He lands a couple big shots on Stipe. But you're fighting a guy who's a Golden Glove boxer who has a lot of boxing training, and you go in there with your hands down, not respecting his power at all, and not setting up your shots, and he was chasing him,
and yeah. He got caught. You watch that, the last, like, the set, right before the finish, he's chasing him, they're kind of moving in sync, and then Stipe just plants and throws that punch, and bam, man, and he just fell in a heap.
Seemed like he made it very easy for Stipe. That was not the fight I think he wanted at all. It was one of those things where it was like, if this fight goes to the ground, Stipe is in trouble. And it didn't seem like he made much effort to take it to the ground. He thought he could pick him standing. And
yeah, I mean, I want to say we did predictions, and you guys picked Stipe. I picked Verdum, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I wanted Stipe to win. I'm very stoked for him. He was so thrilled to bring the belt back to Cleveland. But I thought Verdum might get it done because I thought he was more experienced and had fought tougher guys. But he went in there like he looked relaxed and he didn't fight smart, and he got caught and he paid the price.
Yeah. Bubba?
I don't agree with your assessment of him walking out. The only thing is, like, it's in hindsight, so you can say, man, that's not a good idea. But when you're the champion, you can do what the fuck you want. Two, when you're trying to stay relaxed, people don't realize that type of pressure that comes out. I mean, you can have put in the best training camp and be in the best conditioning, but if you have anxious nerves or you have anxiety in your brain, when you get in the cage, you'll gas out. And
have you ever walked out making funny faces like that?
No, that's not the way that I deal with my nerves. But I can see that him being the champion, being with all these faces on him, being in Brazil in his hometown, that adds extra anxiety that people don't calculate. I mean, that shit is real. What's in your head when you're walking out there can affect everything. I mean, you could have had an 8-week, 10-week, 12-week training right. camp, and then on your walkout, if you fucking get nervous or you do something bad or you're thinking the wrong things, that'll just crush the last 12 weeks. So to make faces, to try to stay calm, to relax, to you know, just put every, I mean, that's what he was doing. It's a ploy to stay relaxed, but there's a, you know, like you said, there's a fine line, but I don't agree with the assessment of all. I don't think that's going to.
No, not always. You know, that doesn't always happen.
You got to do what you got to do as a
yeah,
fighter.
It just seemed like it just seemed fight. as a whole, he wasn't really respecting Stipe.
No, that could be true because of the way he fought.
The way he, yeah, it wasn't the, just a way. It was just it was everything. It was the whole thing.
No, we can agree to disagree, son. It's
yes,
okay.
But you I'll know, I you know what? But I think this now it's one of those things where Stipe has his work cut out for him. I mean, if he gets an immediate rematch with Verdum, which I think he should, but I don't think he will, but I think he should, Verdum's not going to make that same mistake of not respecting
whoa,
his power.
Whoa, who gets immediate rematches these days? What is that about?
Conor McGregor. But I think they're probably going to have him fight Overeem next,
yeah.
Which is going to be a tough fight for Stipe. I think Stipe wins that fight, but Overeem... Power, you got to look at, okay, who has better boxing? Straight boxing, Stipe. Wrestling, Stipe. Jiu-jitsu, I'd say it's probably a wash.
Cardio, Stipe.
Kickboxing, Overeem. Who do you think wins that fight?
I got Stipe, you know? He's going to defend that belt harder than ever. And I think, like I've always said, I've always said it, but it's probably not true, but I'm going to continue to say it. I think Overeem's best days and the best performance is not going to be with Stipe.
Yeah,
behind him.
So that's going to be a good fight. Some of the other fights that we saw, the Jacare versus Vitor, that was a brutal beatdown.
Yeah,
Vitor Belfort is not the same fighter off TRT, not even close. TRT Vitor maybe beats Jacare, but this version of Vitor Belfort is not. It happens, but Jacare is just a monster. Thoughts on that fight?
I mean, I thought it went exactly how it was supposed to.
Yeah.
I was, when Vitor sprawled on that first takedown that Jacare went for, I was like, okay, maybe he'll use it to get up. And then just Jacare literally, like, he kept crawling like he does, but he was pushing Vitor closer and closer to the cage, and then he just he got on top. And like I said last week, if Weidman's mount Vitor couldn't get out of, you're not moving when Jacare's on top of you.
Yeah,
Jacare was the man.
He's
he's on the rise. He's hungry. It looks like he's hungry. So.
Yeah, I want to see him versus the winner versus Weidman Rockhold, unless Weidman wins, and then it should be best out of three, which is a good possibility.
Whatever happened to Yoel?
Yoel got suspended for the year for taking whatever he was taking.
They cut it down.
They cut it down to what?
I think it was like 3 or 6 months because the substance that he was tested positive for was actually not listed in the ingredients of what he took. So the athletic commission said, okay, so that's kind of a technicality. We're not going to give you the 2 years or whatever it was. So,
The Cyborg fight, Jesus Christ. I was obviously pushing for Leslie. I like Leslie. The way Leslie fights is tailor-made for Cyborg, which I kind of knew. I even said that. I go, I really hope she keeps her distance, wears her out, tires her out, maybe does something in the third round. Instead, she decided to trade with Cyborg, which is a terrible idea. Look, Cyborg, but do I think the fight was stopped too early? Yes, a tad bit too early. Do I think inevitably she would have lost the fight? And do I want to see her get hurt? No. It didn't seem like that fight was going any other way, which I hate to say it because I was rooting for Leslie badly. Cyborg is a monster, and I think that anybody at 135 other than Holly Holm, she beats. I think she beats Misha. I think she beats Nunez. I think she beats Ronda. I think Holly Holm has the boxing and the ring generalship, so we call it, to stay away from her and kind of win that fight. If she in a 5-round fight, she's got to get through that girl Kaja first, who's another really, really good fighter. But if Cyborg can make 139, I think she can make 135. I know it's, you know, from wrestling, it's hard.
Fucking big difference,
it's a
man.
Big, but I think she can do it because people are not going to fight her at this 139 catch weight. If I'm Misha Tate's management and she gets through Nunez, do not go to 139. You go to the weight class and we fight. It's the only way she's going to get that belt is if she loses those 4 pounds. Bubba.
No, I agree with you. Shouts out to Leslie. She's a tough opponent. She's a tough girl. She wanted this fight, kind of thing. You know, this is fresh off of her last victory, so you know she's got the mind of a champion. But Cyborg's a whole different animal. You know, my first trip to California for anything MMA was to train with Cyborg or to train Cyborg for her upcoming fight a couple years ago in wrestling, and she was as strong as they come as a woman. She was as fast as they come. She's got a work ethic that, you know, is unparalleled. So I can see that coming. But like you said, if she can make 39, if she wants the belt is worth 4 pounds. So you got to go get there. And no one else is going to, especially how you're destroying people and have been destroying people, no one's going to give you any type of advantage, especially when they already feel like they're the underdog, even if they're the champion. So
do you think, what about me saying the only girl that could beat her is Holly Holm? You agree?
I have to see way more out of a lot more people, because I feel like, you know, the reason why they brought me in was to help her wrestling, and you know that's one thing that no one ever gets to see is how she rolls around, and I think that there are some girls out there that can give her.
She's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, no? Is she a black belt?
It's different.
I think she is a black belt now.
We're talking about getting punched on while you're jiu-jitsu, like, you know what I'm saying? You go for a lock on me, I got an arm free. Fuck your black belt, all right?
Tyler?
Your ass going to sleep.
I would probably agree with that. I think, styles is everything, and I think Misha's fantastic. She's an incredible fighter, but I think her style would be maybe not a great matchup with Cyborg because she likes to kind of stay in the pocket and punch.
Whose style is a good matchup?
Well, I think Holly, because she's got the footwork to keep away from her.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, Cyborg looks like she hits like a truck.
Hits like a truck.
But Holly has the pedigree, the skill of, I mean, her boxing's on another level. So she might not have the power, but when you can put together combinations and the footwork that Holly has, I think she probably had the ability to stay away from her and pepper her with shots and maybe drag her into some deeper water.
Yeah,
but
that bob and weave's got to be perfect.
And the kicks. She throws great kicks, too. So
okay, so this girl, Serena De Jesus. I don't know if it's De Jesus or De Jesus. What is it? All right, we're going to ask her. She's 4-0 as an amateur.
My bet is De Jesus.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, who's
and,
De Jesus?
She trains over with Syndicate. She's a really, really sweet girl, very outspoken girl. And she, very, very interesting story about her, actually.
And here I am.
Hey, Serena.
Hi.
How's it going?
Damn, I'm really tired. I'm doing all right. It's Monday, but it's nice and warm. So you know what? I can't complain.
Nice. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. You're here with Bubba Jenkins, as well as Tom Bowe, CB Gold. How are you? So you're 4-0. You're killing it. Training over at Syndicate, right, with Roxy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. And
so, you know, we're just yin and yang, where she gets carded at the bar for getting orange juice and doesn't curse. I'm the one drinking vodka, lemonade, and stuff like that. I'm like, what?
Nice. And you're from Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. When did you move to Vegas?
Actually a day after Roxy's last fight in Invicta, because I was traveling all over the country at this time. At that time. I went to help Misha with Holly Holm. She wanted me to come train with her because she actually took me out for dinner when I had my last fight out on the West Coast. And, you know, I just kind of told her, like, I didn't think she'd hit me up on it. I'm like, hey, if you ever have to fight Holly Holm, you need a southpaw to work with, you know who to call. Lo and behold, right after I come back from Costa Mesa in January for the Invicta fights there, she's like, hey, can you come out and train with me? I'm like, what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm kind of having a panic attack, but I'm like, this is amazing.
Wow. So,
and then,
yeah,
I trained with her, and then I went to train with Andrea KGB Lee, help her get ready for her fight, and then I went to Vegas, and I'm like, you know what? I've been traveling all over. I might as well just make the move and just do it now. So here I am.
How old were you when you started training?
I was just out of high school, so I was 18. I started doing more jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, and then I kind of branched off from there because my last Muay Thai fight, I think that was 2012. Oh, sorry, my phone's buzzing.
That's okay.
I broke someone's ribs in my last Muay Thai fight. No one in the surrounding area wanted to fight me, so I'm like, you know what? Fine, I'll just go and do MMA. I went out for the first time to Syndicate about 2 years ago now, and trained with Roxy, and then I came back and I had my first MMA fight in the winter. I went against a jiu-jitsu coach who kept trying to run me in the wall, like GSP levels of stalling, just would not let me go. But every time we were separated from the cage, it was kind of making her building some out of a sock and bop and robot, just like having her chin just way up every time I would hit her.
Wow.
And I ended up winning the fight by choking her out. So describe irony.
Now you have a very interesting story. So you were diagnosed with Asperger's?
Mm-hmm.
And how old were you when you were diagnosed with this?
Well, I was 13, but my whole life I was having different diagnoses thrown at me and different medications thrown at me, which I really was not really cool with. I mean, they had me on Ritalin at age 4. I mean, what kind of bullshit is that?
Wow, that's crazy.
And they just kept going like, okay, well, this didn't work. So let's throw this, that, and the other at her. I'm like, and it wasn't until, you know, after many diagnoses, after many, medicine combos, they finally figured out I was autistic. And they got me off the medicine and got me the right social training I needed. And I thrived a bit, but I didn't thrive as well as, like, you know, as I could have until I joined MMA. Because I was forced to socialize, yet I wasn't forced. You know what I mean? I wanted to do this. So I went and did it, but I had to be forced to socialize with people in order to understand something in jiu-jitsu, like a move set, or I had to have a training partner, like, you know, drilling stuff in Muay Thai. So it really helped me grow. I've met very wonderful people. I've also seen, you know, I've become more educated about the ugly side of, you know, people and the sport in general too. And it's helped me just overall grow as a human being. And this is why I love the sport.
So now there are different, you know, types of autism, right? And different kind of levels mm-hmm. in it. So what do they say about your case?
I'm mild, but my sister, who has a different diagnosis under the spectrum, is moderate. She's 14, but mentally she's like 8.
Right.
there are still subtle social situations that'll go over my head. I still get pretty nasty social anxiety, but people don't see it a lot because I've trained to kind of be like, hold myself out for as long as I can. When I need to take my break, I need to take a break. Like, I will, if not, I'll just like break down. No, like, you know, kind of shut down a little bit and people will notice. Like, for example, when I'm like in a bar, I have to, and there's like so many noises around, lights humming, people, you know, doing their thing. It's overwhelming. Right. And I have to have my headphones on. So that's why when, you know, at Invicta, you summon my headphones in. Wasn't me being like an asshole or anything. It was just like, you know, there was a lot of noise at the time. I needed like a steady stream of noise to focus on, you know? So I would listen to something. It wouldn't even be a full song. It'd be like maybe a good 20, 30 seconds. And I'd be like, okay, I'm back, you know?
Right, right, right. Gotcha. So sometimes you bring your headphones to bars because it's too noisy mm-hmm. and you kind of have to zone out a little bit. You have to be like, all right, I have to get back into my world kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even for a long time. It's so subtle, people don't notice unless I pull it out right in the middle of a conversation. And they're like, hey, man, what the fuck is this? I'm like, chill. I'll explain in a few seconds. And then after I do, they're like, oh, okay, my bad. Right. I'm like, no problem. Let's go get a beer.
Right, right, right. So now mixed martial arts has helped you, you said, because it actually helps with your autism, correct?
Mm-hmm. It helps me focus. It's taught me life lessons I think no other form of therapy could have. And it's really great stress relief. Like, we all have been that one person in jiu-jitsu who has panicked when they're being crushed by somebody and they start flailing their arms, they get caught in an arm bar, you know, head and arm chokes and all that stuff. But in time after, you know, I would learn how to not panic even when something literally is crushing me. Right. And it's helped me with my anxiety that's associated, like, you know, with my autism, like how to not panic when I'm in a situation I can't deal with. It's taught me how to breathe, how to relax, how to find a way out of it, or how to at least cope with it. So,
you said your younger sister. Oh, I'm sorry. You said your younger sister's a little further on the spectrum. Is this something that you would recommend for her to try as well, or?
Well, I would love to see her do it because females in general, I believe all females should be learning some form of self-defense, especially if they're, they're autistic or they're at a higher risk of being targeted. She would do it, I think, but she's also my polar opposite. Well, I'm the big tomboy outdoorsy person. She's the fashionista, Barbie and pretty princesses and sparkly shit all over the place. So when I was at home, I would like walk in her room, like, you know, like, hey, Kelsey, time to get ready for school. I stepped foot and like, oh, my foot's on fire. It's pink. Whoops. Let's take that foot out of there.
Wow. Wow. So what belt are you in jiu-jitsu?
I'm a blue belt, but I've been a blue belt for quite a while. I've missed a lot of belt promotions because I've been traveling so much. I'm hoping that in time, you know, I'll get my purple belt, but it's something it's not too pressing. It happens when it's supposed to happen. And besides, like, Muay Thai better anyways. So,
yeah. Now, and you're 4-0 as an amateur. Are you going to go pro?
I'm hoping to in a few fights. I'm hoping that I get to fight again next month in Las Vegas for Tough Enough, one of their biggest events, Pack the Mac. But we'll see if that's going to happen or not. I'm hoping that maybe one, maybe two more fights before I consider pro because it is weighing heavily on me. I mean, Shannon Knapp and Julie Kedzie both told me at the Invicta events that just happened a week ago that they saw my fight and they loved it. I'm like, oh, my future boss just saw my fight. Oh my God, yes.
Now, when you were growing up, did kids give you a hard time at all?
Always. And you know what? It wasn't until I started fighting back that they kind of stopped. This is why I don't believe in this whole zero tolerance, you know, policies that no matter who starts the fight or if someone defends themselves, they're both getting in trouble. No, fuck that. If someone is swinging at your kid, you better teach your kid how to, you know, defend themselves and hit them back if someone's being a dick, you know?
I agree.
That's what my mom did. She would yell at me in the principal's office, but she's like, you know, after we got out, she's like, we're getting ice cream. I'm like, hell yeah.
Now, do you think you really have autism or everyone's just really too boring for you? Because I think I have the same problem.
I think I have it. I mean, I've gone from a long time of denying I had it you know, until like, you know, some, like events like Sandy Hook was like, you know, everyone's doing an autistic witch hunt. I was like, okay, I got to be a positive face for this, given that now everybody thinks we're all, you know, emotionless killers. But I think I have it. There are certain tics and stuff I don't feel fully comfortable talking about that I have yet. Certain social problems, certain other issues that coexist with my autism, I don't think I want to open up quite yet to. But hey, this is the start. I went from denying I had to like being more open and just saying I have it, you know. So maybe in time I'll discuss more of the issues I have with, you know, being on the spectrum. But for right now, not yet.
You're very funny on Twitter, by the way. I enjoy your. You're always calling people out and calling them pussies and stuff. So I really appreciate that. Now,
that was because six people in a row ducked me in the fall. I'm like, really? When you're cutting weight on and off since you know, the end of summer, you tend to get a little irritated and start calling people pussies for backing out. But that's just me.
Nice. Now, I think you should be more. I mean, look, the fact that you have autism and you're 4-0 and you're a fighter, you should be like the poster girl for. I mean, right? You should be making some money at this. You should be like famous. This is overcoming a lot. I mean, this is amazing what you're doing. This is not just some little feat. I mean, you're accomplishing a lot. You should be very, very proud of yourself. Really proud of yourself.
I try.
Honestly.
I just try. I mean, I don't put myself on a higher pedestal than everybody else. It's just kind of keep my head low and keep working and keep doing what I'm doing, because I bet there's other people who are doing crazy shit too who would like deserve some kudos and props. Yeah, I may be one of the few fighters on the spectrum doing that. I mean, there's a dude who's also on the spectrum doing it. I forget his full name, but I know his nickname is Captain Redbeard.
Is it Diego Sanchez?
Yeah, I think that's
it's not Diego. I think he's not. Now, do you have a boyfriend or what?
I dated once. It was horrible. And that was like, you know, when I was still kind of going into this sport a little bit. He was kind of one of those whiny, like mommy and daddy paid for his private college tuition, paid for his car, paid for his gas. And here I am busting my ass working and like, you know, and training. So I cut out time to see him like once or twice a week. And I would hang out with him for pretty much the whole day when I had my days off. And no, he wanted more time. I'm like, well, are you going to help me out here? And he's like, pretty much no. And then he's like, you love training more than me. So after years of putting up with this bullshit, I had a test. I'm like, all right, Robbie, I'll drop all my training. I'm going to spend more time with you. He's like, really? You're the best girlfriend ever. I'm like, bitch, that was a test. You failed. Bye.
Wow.
And I just dropped him. And he got so pissed. And he was like making up all these excuses. Like apparently, like he thought I was cheating on this one Colombian friend of mine who I helped in college for his essays and stuff. And we're cool. He was like, oh, you're cheating on me with that dude. I'm like, for real though? Really? You just can't accept you're an asshole, right? Oh. All right. You know what? More bonus points remain.
Bubba, anything you want to say to Serena Southpaw?
Yeah, I think that was awesome. I think the trick she pulled on him was pimp-like and masterful.
Nice. Hey, you know what? That's how I roll, man.
That's how you roll. Well, smooth. Listen, Serena, it was a pleasure having you on. Where can people find you?
People can find me on both Instagram and Twitter at Serena Southpaw. You can also find me on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/Serena Southpaw. You can pretty much find me anywhere and everywhere. And hey, if you get past my ninja security on Facebook, I'll hide you.
Do you have
thanks for having me on, Adam.
Oh, no, thank you for being you. You're an inspiration. Do you have a day job or any kind of job?
Currently looking. I'm just babysitting and helping run business websites. And also, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm writing people's essays online for money, like $25 a page. So, woohoo, academic dishonesty pays off after all.
Is that legal? I don't think maybe you should tell people that.
They make movies about people like you.
But we should get her on Tip a Fighter.
Yeah,
I think people would actually, there's a thing called Tip a Fighter where people can tip you for your fights. And,
if they tip amateur shit, I'll be all over that, because if anybody saw the ass-whooping clinic I put on 2 weeks ago, they'd be loving me.
There you go. Well, Bubba Jenkins will be in contact with you. Serena Southpaw, thank you for everything you do.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Real cool chick, man. Got a great personality. You could tell that, like, you know, she she's been through some stuff in her life, but she's, you know, one of those strong-minded individuals.
And, Jesus,
you know,
right?
To have autism and stuff like that, and to, one, still be successful, two, still have that open mind and that great personality. You can tell her energy is up. That's awesome. You know, she's cool as shit.
Isn't that crazy that you're actually buying an essay for someone who has autism, though? Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she doesn't disclose that, though. You know, I'm pretty sure the business wouldn't be booming as bad. You know, like, yeah, I'm going to write your essay. So do you have any mental problem? No, I just got autism. We're good, though. Send me the money.
That's crazy. Good for Serena. What was you saying?
Oh, I was going to ask. So she's 4-0 amateur. When do you make the call? When do you make the jump? What do you have to do to make the jump from amateur to pro? Is it just like you decide you're going to do it, or is there like some kind of how do you navigate that?
I was never amateur, so I don't know.
I think at a certain point, it depends. You know, it's funny because sometimes I'll look at people's amateur careers and they go and they have like
19-2
yeah. Or some people actually go from losses to pros. A lot of times. The last amateur fight was a loss.
Well, they're like, yo, if I don't get my ass beat, I might as well get paid.
But you see people that like had successful pro careers and their last fight was an amateur, and you're like, man, what gave you the confidence that you're getting beat by people who are amateurs? But you never know.
I think it's a comfortability thing. You know, once you think, okay, I've mastered what I think I know at this level, and it's time to, one, challenge myself, two, see if I can, you know, compete with these guys, and three, I make some damn money. All this training, all this doing, all of that. You know, I got to pay some gym dues.
TB, you okay? What's the matter?
Nothing.
What? No, something's going on with
you. Just hanging out.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What do you think of Serena Southpaw?
She's awesome. I spent a lot of time with her before Invicta, Thursday and Saturday. I think I was the first person to ever walk up to her with photos to get signed. So she was like looking at him, and then she was like, well, you should have got this one off my Facebook. I'm like, I didn't even think about going on your Facebook.
Right.
And in terms of what I know about going amateur to pro, it's a personal choice.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of times where guys will be like, you know, we want to sponsor you, and you could get a sponsorship, and they're like, all right, it's time to go pro. I can make the money. But from what I know, it is, you could just say, you know, this is my last fight before I turn pro. But you don't want to turn pro if you don't have, like, a fight contract. You don't want to be like, I'm a pro, and then everybody's like, no, I really don't want you to fight for us. So
let's talk about a fight that happened in Bellator last week, the King Mo Phil Davis fight. I watched that Sunday morning. A couple thoughts on that fight. People thought that King Mo got robbed. I didn't think it was a robbery.
Wrong.
I didn't think it was a robbery. I thought King Mo won the first round. Phil Davis definitely won the third round. Second round could have went either way. Not much action.
Robbed.
You think he got robbed?
Robbed. You can rob these nuts.
You thought Phil Davis won?
I mean, I'm biased, obviously, because Phil's like, you know, family to me.
Yeah.
But Phil was definitely the more active person. I wouldn't say the more aggressive one. He didn't control the cage, but, you know, it was a lot similar to my fight with Jordan Parsons. Rest his soul, without the takedowns. You know, I moved around, but when we planted and had to do something as far as an exchange, I won the exchange. Oftentimes, Mo would throw bombs and, you know, try to swing at Phil, but the leg kicks, the body kicks, they weren't damaging, but they were, I mean, if we're going by a point system, if you're going by who's the tougher guy and who's going to, you know, be the best in the war, you got to give that fight to Mo, but there's a point system that people don't take into consideration. And if it was a point system, you got tech fault because you didn't do shit. You know what I mean? There was every now and then you threw some bombs.
He won the first round. Mo won the first round. It wasn't 30-27. Mo won the first round. The second round was close. You're right. I thought Phil Davis won the second round. I was kind of looking to give it to him, though, based on our friendship. But you could have argued that Mo won the second round. Third round, it was knockdown. He had him on Queer Street, as they say. And but you know, King Mo, as good of a fighter as he is, he somehow gets in these decisions that you like. He really only has, I would say, two clear losses. Feijão was the loss, and the first loss to Newton. I thought he won the second Newton fight. I thought he won the Rampage fight, and you could argue he won this fight.
But if you're going to give him the Rampage win, isn't that not the same thing with Rampage and Mo Law? Wasn't that not the same fight?
The problem is that King Mo is getting into these close fights where you could argue either way. That's the issue.
That's the issue. But if you're looking at the schematics and
There were more takedowns in the Rampage fight. Didn't he take him down a couple times?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't.
But that was it. That was the difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm counting the difference as Phil doing those Superman leg kicks, leg kick, push kick, you know, every now and then a good jab. I mean, there was a lot of things that Phil did that was successful. And then you give the takedowns one to one, give the body kicks to Phil, you know, give who was hurt. I mean, at any point in the fight, Mo was hurt. Then the takedown came. And
That's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't think it was a
submission attempt. You know what I mean?
It definitely wasn't a robbery.
No.
But Mo's got to figure out a way to not make these fights as close as they are.
30-28.
Did you watch the fight?
I did see that one.
But the whole Bellator card was weird. My friend fought on it. My friend from Fresno, he got destroyed. The guy with the tattoo on his face, Rick Rieger, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He did get destroyed.
I like that guy, but he got annihilated. And there were all these, like the whole card was a guy making his pro debut, a guy 1-0. It was the weirdest primetime Saturday night card I've ever seen in Bellator history. I mean, you had guys primetime Saturday night, a guy 1-0 versus a guy 0-0. I'm like, what? I understand you got to fill in prelims, but there are a lot of Bellator fighters right out there right now that would have loved.
Yeah, guys just looking for fights.
Yeah, man.
I mean, my dad wanted to watch fights Saturday night, and so he put on Bellator because he didn't want to pay $70 for the UFC. I guarantee a lot of people wanted to watch or just in that same situation. Saturday night fights, great. Phil Davis, King Mo, I know those guys. Why not put a fucking Caldwell or this guy or Jenkins or that's the time to do it.
Man.
I'm not defending it, but they were scrambling for that card with the whole Josh Thompson's out, and then Parsons was fighting, then he passed.
All right, there's a fight this Friday, right? There's a Pitbull and a Georgi Karakanyan.
It's Manhoff Carvalho for the middleweight championship.
Why not combine those cards? Why not take the best fights this Friday, put them on that card? You tell me that if you would have had Manhoff on that card and you would have had Georgi versus Pitbull Pat Curran versus Georgi, and then you have the King Mo. I mean, you could argue that was not as good as a 198, but a fucking good card to watch. Instead, I'm watching a guy who I think is making his pro debut. I mean, put Serena Southpaw on the fucking card if you're going to do that. I mean, what are you doing?
I don't know.
No offense, Serena. But
I don't trust Bellator with their girls division anymore.
All right.
Maybe their mentality was that they figured if they're going head-to-head with a card on UFC card on a Saturday night that they wouldn't try to press it, to stack it, and just focus on the next card.
Then why go head-to-head on a Saturday night? And why get a King Mo, Phil Davis on it? I mean, why? I think maybe you get the venue 6 months in advance and there's a whole thing, but it just makes no sense. I mean, there were literally guys who were 0-0 fighting on that card. Like, make an 0-0 fighter on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock.
That's a perfect record.
On Spike TV.
I've also noticed.
Someone's 0 must go in that fight, really.
In Bellator, when they do the prelims, a lot of the time, and I've been paying attention to this, they'll do a lot of local fighters so they don't have to pay, like, travel fees and stuff like that. Like when Dynamite was Dynamite when it was in San Jose last year, a lot, probably like I think 6 or 7 guys on the prelims alone were AKA guys because they're down the fucking street. They don't stack their prelims because, to be honest with you, nobody's sitting on spike.com trying to watch their prelims.
Yeah.
And their main card, I'm not defending it, but they had to scramble with a lot of fights and they didn't have much to work with because, yeah, you're going up against one of the greatest UFC cards ever put together. So, and then everything happened and it was just, it's a tough
then
position.
Then put the James Thompson or move Kimbo it to Friday night. Then be creative with it.
Move it to Friday night. Don't do it Saturday night.
Yeah.
Dodgeball, bitches.
Listen. All right. So we are waiting for Tom Ryan to pick up. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsor, Tip a Fighter. Listen, we can make a difference in fighters' lives. We can pay them money they deserve. So go to tipafighter.com, tipafighter.com. Fighters, if you're out there busting your ass every day, why not make some extra income? And you don't have to do anything. All you got to do is sign up. That's it. Sign up and fight well, which you plan on doing anyway, I'm pretty sure. So the other fights on that UFC 98 card, Matt Brown versus Damian Maia. I don't know, man. Damian Maia at 170 is scary good.
Yeah.
At 185, he was... Yeah, he had some problems. The Nate Marquardt knockout, the Weidman loss. I think he was up and down a couple guys. But at 170, this is a new Maya. This is, and he's, Matt Brown is not a, I wouldn't say he's a wrestler, but he's fought some good wrestlers and defended some good takedowns, and he had no answer for Damian Maya's takedowns. And then the Neil Magny and other guys, Damian Maya, it's like he knows double leg, but he knows it well. He's got a good double for a guy who with no collegiate wrestling background or even high school wrestling. This dude's got a good takedown. And when he grabs you, you're going down. And it wasn't just one takedown. It was every single round he got the takedown. And it wasn't like Matt Brown didn't know that was going to happen. Didn't know that that's what he was going to go for. He went for it. And Maya, can he beat Robbie Lawler? I don't think so. Can he beat, you know, some of these other top guys? Maybe. Maybe he can beat Rory McDonald. Maybe he can beat Wonder Boy. Maybe he can beat these guys at 170. I mean, the guy's a beast. Bubba.
You just got to get a takedown, man. That's his. He's the champ on the ground. You know what I mean? It's dealing with the kid to get to that point. You know, and I'm kind of similar in that field where it's like, I'm okay on my feet. You know, I don't mind being here. I'm not going to die here. I'm not going to go crazy and jump out of the cage, but I want to drown your ass in this water down here. And, you know, once you get them in that pool, 9 times out of 10, you're going to drown them. And Maya's got that, and he drowned him.
Yeah.
Seriously, just smothers dudes. And a lot of people, drowned, you know, him. People are saying, oh, he's a boring fighter, whatever. But
yeah, I think that wasn't boring to me.
No, if you respect the ground game and you know how good he is, man, that dude, he uses patience and persistence as weapons, man. He just drags guys down, and he's good everywhere on the ground. And but to be fair, Matt Brown's a tough dude. To be fair, he had 2 fights on the way to the cage. So by the time he got in the octagon, he had already it was like a 3-man tournament or a 3-fight tournament.
I do think Matt Brown let his emotions get the best of him. He gave the crowd.
Oh, so you think anxiety was a big part of that?
I think he gave the crowd the middle finger during the weigh-ins. He enjoyed being the bad guy. Well, but fighting on the way to the cage, and then he got into a fight afterwards. He got attacked afterwards in the hotel room.
What would he have done different if his emotions were intact?
Nothing. I think Damian Maya's got his number in that case. Exactly. I think Matt Brown is his Achilles heel has been wrestlers. Especially, you know, Johnny Hendricks.
That's everyone's Achilles heel, bro.
Yeah, but if you're a wrestler, you could somehow negate.
Well, you don't have an Achilles heel if you're a wrestler, and wrestling is the problem.
There was a couple times when he was on the ground, though, where he looked like Brown was looking to the ref like he was looking for a stall on a stand-up.
I think punches to the back of the heads he was looking at.
No. Well, he was looking for a stand-up.
And that's one of those things where you go, like, you're like, you can't, first of all, you can't expect that, especially not, I don't think, in on a Brazil card with a guy like that. They're going to let you go. And I just don't think it's a good strategy anyway, because you're relying on a ref to get a stand-up, man. You gotta scramble, you gotta fight hands,
hands, and he was looking at the ref like, hey, we're not doing anything, even though Damian Maya was slowly but surely getting legs in, squeezing, and slowly but surely drowning him out, which he can feel. And there was a point where he could hold for, like, what you would call a stalemate, hold for a stalling position, but it didn't last that long.
But Damian Maya, I mean, who beats him? I mean, right now, who beats Damian Maya?
I think Woodley would beat Maya.
I mean, who Woodley, you think? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're not taking him down.
There was in the last round.
And then you're going to get bombed on.
There was a couple exchanges in the last round where Brown, you know, obviously knew he needed to get a finish. He had a few good exchanges with the hands, but then he got him when he kind of dropped. He didn't really, I don't know if he dropped Maya or he hit him and Maya kind of like fell back, and then he went into his guard, and you're just like, no. But yeah. I think guys like Robbie or maybe Woodley.
That was a beautiful setup, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm hurt. Come finish me. Gotcha, bitch. Right. I was laying here waiting.
But I do think maybe some of the guys like Woodley and Lawler that have a really good sprawl game that have heavy hands, because
going to sleep, you hit him.
Yeah, I don't know if Maya can take those shots from those guys if they can stay on their feet and throw. And I think those guys probably can.
I think Woodley would definitely be a hard. I mean. A wrestler is a really tough guy as far as the jiu-jitsu. So we don't have to have the offense. Willie's just got to have the defense.
Right. Right. So Hendricks versus Maya?
Yeah, I think that would be a bad matchup for Maya.
You think so?
Hendricks has a fight.
I know. He's fighting Gastelum. But I'm saying the winner of...
I think Maya would beat Gastelum. I think... Well, Maya did beat Magny. Who else is up there?
He's a good wrestler, Gastelum.
I think Condit beats Maya.
Not good enough.
Who?
I think Carlos Condit beats Maya.
Yeah. I think so too.
I don't know. I think you guys are underestimating Maya. I don't know who
I've never underestimate Maya.
I do. I'm not even gonna lie. I don't pick him that often.
Shogun versus
Corey
Anderson. People thought that Shogun lost that fight. People thought Corey got robbed. I only caught the second half of that fight, but it seemed like Shogun kept dropping him at the end of the round. I didn't think it was a terrible decision.
Shogun looked a lot better than I expected, that's for sure. I counted him out on the show and in the weeks and months leading up to it. I thought Corey was just going to run through him, like, no problem. And Shogun came out, and I was almost hoping Shogun would lose so he would say, you know what, I'm done. Like, I need to be done. But now that he wins, he's like, oh, I might still have it. And then they give him a better opponent, and he gets fucking destroyed.
And not in Brazil. You have to factor in the 48,000 people behind you that can somehow, you know, get that rush going for you. The worst game plan of the night goes to my man, Pat Cummings. I like Pat Cummings. I've hung out with him. He's a cool guy. I do not understand. Okay, he was your coach, right?
Wasn't no, hell no.
On your team?
He was a teammate of mine.
Teammate of yours.
He was the senior when I was a freshman.
Great wrestler.
Yep. All-American.
NCAA finalist. NCAA finalist. Tough guy.
I think he lost to Mako and to guy from Matt Ryan's boy.
Mako, he lost to? Wasn't Mako heavyweight?
Yeah.
He was heavyweight?
Yeah.
I thought he was, all right. So.
You thought he was what?
The
197 yeah. pounder that Phil Davis was?
Yeah, it's a good point. That's what I thought he was. So.
Interesting.
Sorry. I didn't get off my Penn State wrestling nerd logic.
Okay.
So, what I'm saying is, you go up against Little Nog, who's got the advantage in boxing, and you stand there and trade. Just does not seem like the smart game plan. He did go for one takedown. They had him against a cage, but he didn't have that. I mean, this guy is a great wrestler, explosive double leg, and it seemed like he just let Little Nog get him into his fight.
He might have been hypnotized by Little Nog's good looks.
Yeah.
But, no, dude. no, Cummins is such a tough dude, but, like, and he, that's, like, sometimes I think that's dangerous. I think he knows that he can take a shot, but he got like wobbled or staggered and like.
I don't know if he can take a shot though.
Well, he was out on his feet, like he still won't go down. But like I had like flashbacks to like Dave Manet at the end when he was just taking those shots
from Phil Veroni.
I mean, Nog doesn't have the hand speed, but at the end he was leaned up against the cage and Nog hit him with like probably three really hard unanswered lefts, and he just was slumped against the cage. And thank God the ref jumped in because you're like. Please don't wait for him to, like,
fall.
Drop. Just stop it. He's out.
Yeah, I don't know what happens to Pat Cummings. I mean, that was the last fight on the prelims, and now it's his second fight he lost in a row, right? Didn't he lose his last fight, or did he win his last fight?
No, he lost his last fight.
I don't know if he's been
up and down.
I don't know if he gets cut or they keep him.
I don't think they'll cut him.
No, I don't think they'll cut him,
but there's two sides of this. Number one, Little Nog is a former Brazilian Olympic team boxer. So the guy doesn't suck on his feet.
Yeah.
He's more of a boxer than his brother's a jiu-jitsu guy. They're like two different fighters. Cummins, you know, he leading up to the Cormier fight, when his debut, he's like, I used to make this dude cry in the gym, double legs all day. He did the same shit with Cormier. He goes out there and swings with him. I'm like, dude, go for a fucking takedown. What are you doing?
On Cormier, you're not getting a takedown.
No, but Cummins was talking
going into it, I
used to take him down all the time in the gym, and then he goes out and tries to swing with him. He gets knocked out in a minute.
It's a different style, but he could definitely take down Cormier.
I thought he was going to take Nogueira down and just pound him out, call it a night. That was another one where I'm like, you know, if Little Nog loses, maybe he retires, saves himself. Now he wins. He's like, I still got it.
I don't know. I was impressed with Brian Barberena, who beat
the
Warley.
The Sage Killer.
The dude who beat Sage Northcutt. He beats Warley Alves in Brazil. This kid, man, don't sleep on Barberena. He's a beast.
He just won't go away.
He's a beast.
He just won't go. They're like, let's feed him to Warley because he beat our precious Sage.
Yeah.
And then Warley's like, oh, I could beat him. I mean, Warley was close, man. Some of those guillotines at the beginning and what he was doing, but fuck, man, Barberena ain't no joke.
I love Barberena.
You know who I gotta give a shout out to? And I don't even know his name. That Hawaiian dude that lost,
Yancy Medeiros.
Oh, I love
to
that
Trinaldo,
guy.
Trinaldo, fight of the night.
Did he win fight of the night?
He got fight of the night,
bro,
yeah, man.
I was so proud of that dude. I mean, and I'm not like a Hawaiian born and raised, but I grew up a little bit in Hawaii, and the heart that he showed is what Hawaii's about in a sense.
You know what? You know, since Tom Ryan isn't picking up the phone, I want to call Yancey right now. Maybe he'll pick up.
Yeah, I thought.
All right.
You know, yes, right. I'm
fucking no, that. Let's call 808.
That dude's a warrior, man.
554.
Your show, bro.
7121.
Dude, Yancey must have taken 30 big shots that could have.
I tried call. By the way, Tom Ryan, I was really excited to have him on the show. He was my old wrestling coach.
Now you got to delete his number.
He's not picking up.
Well, he's afraid. He's afraid to talk about me and Palmer.
He did give me a scholarship.
Tyler and I were watching that fight, and every time you're like, "Oh shit!" Like these heavy lefts that Trinaldo threw, and
yeah,
you know, and he just didn't go down.
What do you think of Yancey's defense, though?
And he was just like trying to just walk away from him, like, "No, I'm good, bro. Just let me just walk it off. I'm gonna walk this one off."
That's Masaranduba for you.
What's that?
That's Trinaldo's nickname. Same thing I said the first episode, and then Greg made the Indiana Jones joke.
Dude, I think I tweeted out that I think he punched the bones out of his body because he was just like, he was wobbling. Like he Jello. Looked like he had no skeleton.
Yeah. But all heart was there.
No, dude, he's tough as nails.
Yeah, dude.
It's like, yo, there's a way I can go out, but it ain't going to be this way, sucker.
Is there anyone else that thinks Nate Marquardt, it's that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, it's definitely that time.
About four fights ago, maybe?
I would have picked up a couple more checks. You got to go out like you know, Jordan with the Wizards.
What? Oh, come on. Are you seriously?
Yo, you got to at least make an attempt to maybe get that look.
No, I think you have to go out with your brain cells, though, too, man. I think going out like that, getting knocked out all the time, getting hit... What are you going to... Come on, man. You don't want to be punching.
He was hoping for another shot.
I think...
That's what they do when you're at the end of your career. You're hoping for that look. I need 15... I got 15 minutes and I need one punch.
I love that you said another
shot. Yeah, he took 30.
I love that you said another shot because this was the analogy I was just going to make. Some of these fighters, when they get late in their career, taking another shot at is like when you've been drinking...
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you've already had nine drinks.
You know it's a wrap.
You've already had nine drinks, and then someone's like, shots? And you're like,
no.
Four drinks ago, Ed, that wouldn't seem like a good idea. But then you put five more drinks in front, and you go, yeah, let's do it. And you just bury yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't need to do that.
Yeah, the ninth drink, you almost threw up, but you know what?
Yeah.
You got another shot in you, of course. You fucking find yourself... laying on the ground, looking up, trying to figure out what the fuck just happened.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to see these guys.
That's a great analogy. Well, punchy. Took too many shots, literally.
Yeah, took too many shots, exactly. So, I think we covered pretty much all the fights, right? Anymore? I mean, a couple undercard fights.
Lineker looked good against a guy that was a lot bigger than him, with a lot more range. That was a good fight, actually. Lineker said, I'm surprised I didn't get the knockout. I'm like, I'm not really surprised. Dude, the guy had major reach on you, and every time you tried to get inside, he was, like, moving and getting out of there. But Lineker did very well. I mean, I was hoping they'd rebook that Garbrandt fight, but
yeah.
I think Lineker coming off a win and Garbrandt going to get murdered in 2 weeks, I think.
Garbrandt's going to get murdered?
Oh, dude, I think Almeida's going to kill him.
Come on.
Oh, come on. Be true. Be honest here.
I think Cody's going to do it.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's biased, but...
He is biased.
I'm biased.
It's gonna be a great fight.
I'm biased, but Cody's got better boxing. This dude's been hurt. Cody's been hurt too in one of his earlier fights. But this dude's been rocked a couple of times.
Cody's next too long. His neck's too long to fight.
Tomas Almeida.
Have you seen Cody's new girlfriend on Instagram?
Murder.
She's smoking hot.
No. Well, he's a rebel. He's that. You know that gangster white. He's like what black women look for in a rapper. He's that for the white girls. He's like that bad guy, but still doing it. Got the tattoos, anti-association, straight rebel.
Tell you ever hook up with a black chick or no?
No.
Why not? You're racist.
No, that ass is... Tyler Bowen, the biggest man, you know what I mean?
That
ass,
man.
What's that?
You're not the biggest stature, and I'm telling you, that ass is hard to control these days.
Black girls' asses?
Yeah.
I can control them.
I missed that
even
entire analogy.
Even white girls
analogy.
Are trying to do it now.
What? You ever hooked up a black girl?
Yeah, a few times.
Nice.
They like those curls.
Like for free, or? No, and where did you meet this black girl? Was he black or was covered in tattoos?
Blackpeopleto meet.com.
There's a few. But I will say about Cody and his tattoos, he's got that one like right here up to his chin. Every time I see him, I'm like, did he grow a beard? No, it's just that ugly fucking tattoo.
I don't understand why girls do that. Like, Rowdy Beck, I think she was looking smoking hot. And then that tattoo on her neck, I'm like, come on.
Tattoo on her neck, she got a big ass fucking tiger right here.
I don't mind that.
Ashley Evans Smith, too.
I think it's better than her neck, though. I don't mind the tattoo on the head.
Put one on your temple, but the neck one is way too much.
Well, because hair could grow out on the temple. You know, and you could, but when the neck is just, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the neck tattoo.
What about on your fucking forehead?
Not good. Because
there was an episode of a tattoo show the other day, and the competition or the challenge was guys and girls came in and wanted forehead tattoos. And then I saw one on Instagram that says around down the guy's chin.
Are you looking for new tattoos?
What? No.
Would you ever get Connor's nutsack on your forehead or no?
No, I'm never getting anything tattooed that can be seen if I'm wearing like a suit or a collared shirt and pants.
What are you ever wearing a suit? Court?
I was supposed to wear a suit yesterday to Legends of MMA Hall of Fame, but I think they went out of fucking business.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Their website went down. Their Twitter doesn't work no more. Their Facebook, they're not updating. So I was just like, I bought a $500 suit for that event. And I didn't hear back from any of the people running it. But regardless, no, if you really want to, and I'm going to incriminate the shit out of myself right now, but I'm probably getting another Connor tattoo.
No! Six? Where?
What do you mean, where?
You've thought about this.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get it?
That's what I just said. He's been looking for it, and he tells me no.
I'm not looking for it, like getting it on my chin or my forehead or
anything.
Where
are you getting it? On your ass?
We need to kill airtime because Tom Ryan didn't answer, so I'm trying to entertain the crowd.
No, where
you know what? It's time for an intervention.
Yes.
Let's talk.
I don't need an intervention.
No, really.
Where is this tattoo
going to
go?
On the side of my leg. On the outside, not near my nuts or fucking asshole.
On your right ass cheek?
No. Like, kinda? My hip.
I mean, is it in within range?
No, the literal side.
What's
on your hip, really?
What are you getting?
Connor's gorilla.
On your ass.
It's not on my ass.
It's on your hip.
You're getting a gorilla on your ass.
It's on your hip meat.
Why are you getting a gorilla on your ass?
It's
for real.
It's
why?
Not on my ass, though.
But it's on your hip.
It's like.
Okay.
How much money are you wearing on your body?
Honestly?
Yeah, how much money do you got
in
on
tattoos?
Your body?
Yeah, have you?
Probably about $25,000.
It's such a good investment, though. You know, it really.
Why?
You know, it pays off in the long run.
What long run?
I'm joking, dude. It's just.
Well, it is something that's not going away. Maybe it is an investment. It's like sometimes you buy a car, you fuck it up, the car's gone. You know, you smash it, but a tattoo is always going to be there.
I wish I fucked up my car.
He remembers where he was when he got his first tattoo, which was?
It was the one right on the top of my right arm.
It was in the bushes watching
and it was,
right?
No, it was at Tribe Tattoo in Denver, Colorado.
Tribe Call Quest?
No, Tribe Tattoo in Denver, Colorado.
All right, so you're getting Connor's gorilla on your...
Not guaranteed, but definitely thinking about it.
So you mean we can talk you out of it?
Probably not.
Why not?
Nobody's ever been able to talk me out of a tattoo except for, well, one person prohibited me from getting a certain tattoo, and so I agreed.
Now, what is it about Connor's gorilla that you like?
I like the artwork of it. It's not going to look exactly the same. My artist is going to redo it a little bit and make it look a little bit better, the line work, the shading, stuff like that. But
now, where do I go to get a free tattoo?
A free tattoo?
Yeah, where do I go to get a free tattoo?
I don't know if you can get a free tattoo, but I could hook you up. I thought you were done.
No, I am done. No more ink for the Bubster here.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Well, you know what? Look, whatever makes you happy, man. You're a nice guy. You're a friend of mine. If getting a gorilla on your ass makes you happy,
why you always
got
to end conversations like you're getting off the phone from him? You always, when you're talking to people,
you should ask him. You should ask him how he bitched me out on Periscope the other day.
No, here's what happened. Okay,
were you walking your dog again?
We're gonna get both sides of the story.
I'm on Periscope talking to the people.
You having one of your days?
Sometimes I'm on, some on Periscope, right? Okay, like just talking to the people that want to talk to me, like ask questions about the podcast. A lot of times, I'm trying to promote the podcast, like, hey, check out the new podcast; it's really good. Since no one else does it. All right, so I'm
do that.
Okay, so I'm like, I don't know, you guys press retweet. All right, so I'm talking to people about the podcast, this and that, and CB comes on, okay? Every time I'm on Periscope, every single time CB and his girlfriend come on, and CB's like, hey, and then he starts answering the questions people are asking me. right?
No, they were directed at me.
So, well, he's like, hey, it's CB, I'm here. And everyone like asking him questions.
No.
So the first time.
So
I'm
he
like,
hijacked your Periscope.
No, yeah, I'll wait till his side is done because like, that's not
okay.
how it went.
So this is, all right, first time I go, then I even told my girlfriend, I'm like, listen, I love CB, one of my favorite people, but I like do feel kind of bad because
he takes my fans. Because
I'm talking to people, and then it becomes a CB Periscope show, right? And I'm like,
it becomes a CB Periscope show because your fans ask about me all the fucking time.
Okay, fine. Okay, but how do they know you're there? Because you announced
the first thing. No. The first thing that popped up on the Periscope was where's CB Gold? And I said, I'm right here. I haven't figured out. I don't know like all the time how to reply directly to these people's comments. But I'm not trying to hijack your fucking Periscope. I just won't come on anymore.
I told my girlfriend. I said, listen, you know. So I say something to CB. She's like, if you say something to CB, I'm not going to talk to you. She's like, she loves CB. And she's like,
Who doesn't love CB, son? She's like,
it'll hurt his feelings. How much time you got? I don't want to hurt his feelings. You're right. I won't say anything. Right?
You did say something.
Finally, after like the ninth time, I'm like, he starts fucking answering everybody's questions.
So you didn't
get
no Putang that night?
No, I didn't tell her that I got mad. But CB is like answering. So, okay, what's your version of the story?
CB. I gave it pretty much. People are asking me, you know, CB, what do you think about this? Where's CB Gold? I just, you know, I'm trying to promote the show too. I'm trying to have fun.
Do people just think you're always with Adam?
No, I'm not trying to hijack the Periscope. I just won't come on anymore.
No, but now I kind of miss you.
No, you don't.
I know I don't. No, I just sometimes.
You should change your thing to that Periscope should be Adam Hunter and CB Gold Periscope.
That's what it was. I mean, and then I feel like I'm being a dick. Then I felt guilty for saying CB get off the Periscope. I let me answer the questions. And then I'm like, all right, I'm sorry, CB. I apologize. I feel bad.
How often do you do that?
And then he wrote back, "You're still my BFF." So then it became like a loving moment between me and CB on my Periscope.
Yeah, but also you got to understand as well, and I'm saying this to the fans, they're going to listen to this podcast later. I won't be on Adam's Periscopes anymore.
Oh, come on.
But
now you make me feel bad.
Now
you should feel bad,
there's
Hunter.
Some of the questions that they ask you, and you don't have like the complete answer, or you just brush over it. So I'm trying to help out by fucking answering it. The other thing I've noticed is people tweet you, and they add me into the mentions as well.
I love when you answer him.
He's taking his internship duties seriously.
I'm not an intern anymore. I got promoted to co-host.
Yeah, he's a co-host. No, I do love it when you. Well, I'm unpaid too at this point, so we're both unpaid. That's fine,
but I came into this telling you I didn't want to get paid. So,
Jesus Christ! Look, I'm saying I did feel bad. I felt like I was scolding my kid. It's I feel like I was yelling at my dog.
You're always scolding someone, Adam.
Whatever.
My
Bob.
Girl
you
was
know
stalking
we
us.
We need
by
a fucking intervention
because she was in Vegas and she was stalking
Adam,
us.
Adam, what's
the Periscope.
Your deal, bro?
Because then when I came down to the haha that night,
one time.
Because then when I came down to the haha that night, yeah. I get this text from her in Vegas, and she's like, "Are you going to the haha tonight?" And I had never said anything to her about going. So when she came home from Vegas, I'm like, "So, how'd you know I was at the haha?" She's like, "I was on the Periscope creeping." I'm like, "Of course you were."
So we're having, me and Tyler Bowe are hosting the CB versus Adam Hunter press conference. CB Gold has the belt. Adam Hunter is the MMA Roasted Challenger. He has his Periscope taken over.
Nice.
He's getting his show drowned because CB is the fucking man. Hey. How are you going to get your show back and your Periscope back, Adam?
My Periscope, he admitted, I think he's going on a different name because somebody else is answering the questions like CB would on my Periscope. So
that's
I think
not me.
I'm just kidding.
By the way, are you doing Vegas next week?
Vegas for what?
Are you doing any comedy shows in Vegas next week?
No.
It's Memorial Day card?
I'm doing a Nevada show in, it's not Vegas. I'm doing,
How do you go to Nevada and not go to Vegas?
No, it's like 2 hours above Nevada. Where is it? It's something with a T. Hold on. Where am I?
Tuscaloosa.
No, it's
Tampon.
I forgot where I am. But no, I'm not going to be in Vegas.
Telluride.
No, I do want to go to Vegas, but I'm not going to be there. Are you going to be in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm going to the Almeida Garbrandt. I'll be there Thursday. So I may not. If we have a podcast Thursday, I won't be here.
Mm.
You get your podcast back.
I'll tell you who, here. I'm going to be in.
I'm taking
Tanopa,
Bubba with me.
Tanopa, Nevada. You ever hear that? Tanopa, yeah, May 29th, headlining the Tanopa Rotary.
Oh, Sunday night?
Yeah, and it's
that's
like
the same night as the fight.
I know, that's why I can't go. It's a, it's like the World Championship Arm Wrestling Competition that weekend in Tanopa.
So you're doing
any notable people going to be there?
I don't know.
I mean, because I know like Bob Sapp and some of those guys do like arm wrestling tournaments over in like there was always in like Japan and stuff.
I have a friend that actually might be there. His name's Scott Mendelson, former World's Strongest Man. So you're doing a comedy show the night of Almeida Garbrandt, and you have your high school reunion or college reunion the day of 199.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Hey, man. Fucking, I got to make money, bro.
Oh, I know.
And,
are you performing at your reunion?
No, they tried to get me to do it, and I'm like, no.
I did that for my high school reunion.
How'd it go?
It went okay. I did some material, but I did a lot of just like kind of like inside joke references about, you know, our high school and stuff like that. So that went really well. But dude, they were like, oh, that's great, you can perform. And I'm like, how come I have to prove what I'm doing? Like, no one, like, I got high school graduate friends that are like, oh, they're a lawyer now. We weren't like, oh, yeah, prove it, litigate.
Yeah. Like, they wanted me to do it, but I know, like, my school was very, very, there was a lot of PC involved. It was a prep school, and the people might get offended by my jokes.
I
just didn't want to, you know. I don't want to go there.
This guy, look at Adam up there telling jokes.
Yeah, you don't respect women as much as you should, or it's just something.
Look at the funny guy.
They'll look too into every one of my jokes, you know, which would be rough. It's so funny, my I don't know. Women are tough.
Weren't you bullied in that school?
I was not bullied at all.
I was going to say, when you did that one, you could get on stage and fucking just rip everybody that used to bully you apart.
Adam's carry moment.
Yeah.
Just dropping the blood and setting the place on fire.
Exactly. But yeah, things are going really well with the girlfriend. I think it's really well. I'm very, very happy. Like, almost too well.
Uh-oh.
Which is good. I don't know.
And for anybody listening,
would you put too well in there?
I just think she's the one. I think she's the one, for real.
Oh, that's, my that's God. Awesome. Yeah.
And for anybody listening, if I remember correctly, Adam's birthday is this Friday, so send gifts.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, man.
Aren't you doing something tomorrow night?
I'm having a show tomorrow night at the Dime Bar, Tuesday night. You're coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler's going to be there. CB's going to be there.
Is Tyler performing?
No. He's performing June 7th.
Right? Yeah, he's got me on the show. That might be one of my last shows in LA before I got.
What time is that show?
8 o'clock.
Throwing a riot.
Damn,
I'm rioting when you leave.
I know, it's bullshit. I can't believe Tyler's leaving.
I'm gonna miss Living with Funny. Fuck.
I'm not on tomorrow night, but you still watch it though. But the following week, I'm on it with Jessica Penne. I think Juliana Pena, a couple other fighter chicks, a bunch of my ex girlfriends. I go on dates with them to find out what went wrong, and. So, yeah, it should be good. Why are you making that face?
I think the whole thing's hilarious. I love the show. Oh, I just think it's funny. Your dad's grabbing fucking sperm out of the freezer. And then everybody's like, you took a picture at your apartment, and then I guess at like your dad's place. Yeah. And everybody's like, where'd you get all the gold records? You're like, those aren't mine.
I know, they're my dad's. By the way, Gina Danger, who I went out with last week, is fighting May 18th in Alaska. So make sure you support Gina Danger. Yeah. And this week, guys... This week is the week. I can't wait. Mayhem Miller is fighting Luke Barnett.
Oh, it's fucking Saturday.
In Italy. I think we should do a live streaming somehow, Periscope. We should do like a fight companion for it. I think we should all...
Why haven't we Periscope. Set up a press conference for this?
Well, they're in Italy. Mayhem went to Italy. He has Matt Horwich in his corner.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he fucking doesn't.
I swear to God.
Oh, no. It's a blind leading the psychos leading the psychos. And that's coming from a guy that everybody calls psych. Bad news.
TV's on fire. He's gold. Yes. So, and then also, Sokaju is fighting Matt Hamill on
Matt
the card.
Matt Hamill. You got Husamar Polyaris on there.
Yeah.
He should be fighting.
Who else is on that card?
Where can we see this at?
Rachel Cummings is going down there with Jason Manley. They're both there. I don't know why they're
there. I
think
it's on internet pay-per-view, Bubba. I don't think it's going to be on TV.
Yeah. Oh, you don't think?
I don't think.
We got cops. But yeah, so...
they're going to do a cops and jail double episode.
Seriously, like, that's crazy, right? Mayhem versus Barnett. I did not
think... I want to know the
I'm
person
proud of Mayhem for making it this far. Yo, honestly...
I'm proud of him for getting out of the country.
Yo, I'm, yes.
Maybe he never comes back.
He has tackled some tall feats here in the last month. That's for sure.
I want to know.
He invited me to the Purple People... picnic pool party shit a couple times. I actually saw him at a doctor's office and he's like, yo, you're still coming to the Purple People pool party. Purple People Pumpkin Pool Party, right?
I actually
fucking love Mayhem. He's the man. And I'm Mayhem, if you're listening to this, I'm proud of you, bro.
Who do you think is going to win, him or Luke Barnett?
Fucking Mayhem, son!
Really?
No, I don't know. I don't know what Mayhem's going to show
sparring?
Up.
He had this thing. Nope. He was at the beach practicing, and he had a guy on like a table holding mitts, and he's like, "This is how you fight a giant." And he's like punching up.
What was his last fight?
CB Dalloway.
Yeah. I will tell you, there's two things. One, Mayhem. Some of my friends did a private signing. Yeah. Like a private autograph signing with Mayhem a couple weeks ago. Same day I met Rampage. And they said he was normal and he was cool and he signed everything the way he does. I was like, okay, well, that's not how it was here. But if you got Mayhem and Paul Harris and all these guys on the card, I want to know who's the promoter of this thing sitting there going, this is the best idea I've ever had.
I follow him on Twitter and he talks so much shit about the UFC. He's like,
but he must be out of his mind too.
He goes crazy about John Jones saying how like, oh, this is your American hero. Meanwhile, you guys criticize Mayhem. Like, he's all about Mayhem. He's a huge fan of like
chaos.
This dude is crazy.
They couldn't get Charles Crazy Horse Thompson on the card, or
do you know the whole card?
I don't know the whole card.
Junie Browning's on the card.
You can find it. I think Cody McKenzie's on the card. I believe Cody's on the card.
I think you're right.
I hope he gets some decent fight shorts.
Okay. Let's see if they have all of it on here.
I think this is the best thing. I'm looking forward to
Mayhem and Barnott. Yeah. So could you, Matt Hamill. Who's Samara against somebody? Carl Almasu versus Simon Thorsen.
Who's Carl Almasu?
Carl Almasu was a former Bellator guy. Simeon Thorsen, I think, was on the Ultimate Fighter at one point. They got Igor Araujo, who was a Brazilian in the UFC. They got Shea Mills.
Who's that?
A British guy in the UFC. UFC. Rory whooped his ass. Cody McKenzie's on the card.
Who's he fighting?
Some guy named Daniel Scatizzi from Italy. of any other name. Do they have... This thing is 20 fights.
20 fights?
There's 20 fights on this card.
Cody McKenzie's on the card also. Cody McKenzie's the guy that was on the Fighter who won every fight by guillotine. And then he got popped for weed a bunch of times. But
and then he came out with Walmart shorts on.
He came out with the shorts with the tag still on him for one of his fights because he forgot his shorts and had to run across the street.
He had basketball shorts on.
And then he cursed out Dana White. He has a lot of problems. But it's basically like the longest yard, right? Of like fights.
I think the longest yard had better star power.
No, right?
No, I know because of the convicts.
Matt Hamill Sokoju is a good fight.
I think they have a secret fight, and it's War Machine coming out.
No, come on.
But there's something else I read this morning that I thought was pertinent to our podcast.
Sure.
So there's $100,000
pertinent. Man.
I do have a vocabulary.
That's beautiful.
My vernacular is articulate.
Nice. Oh. So what are you articulating?
There's a $100,000 side bet on Bobby Gunn, Shannon Rich.
Really?
I saw that.
With who?
Tyson Fury said, anybody in the UK who beats Gunn, I'll give €100,000. But then Shannon Rich decided to make his own public wager, betting $100,000 in a winner-take-all man-to-man side bet against Gunn. And it says the money will be in addition to the title belt and purse already on the line.
I think he has $100,000, Shannon Rich.
When you lose like 150 times, you only have to make $1,000 each year.
He's hoping to make that much money in fights before he has to fight.
No, but like, and they're talking about in addition to it.
He's fundraising through fights right now to get up.
I think the purse is going to be like $250,000 or something.
He's on Tip of Fighter, by the way.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be big money. I'm so excited for that event. Speaking of which.
Who's Rudy fighting?
I don't know yet. They haven't updated the card, but I know you saw it on Instagram. Concrete Cameron wants in on this.
Yeah, is he going to do it?
I don't know, but I don't think it's...
He's the guy that came here. Remember those two amateurs? You were here, right? The two amateurs that came that day?
Yeah, from Bakersfield.
Yeah, I was there.
One of those guys wants to fight on the card. I think as long as you contact
little
the promoter...
Guys.
Yeah, I think they'll put anybody on the card. I think the guy Damon Feldman will just put people on the card. I don't think you have to actually...
You got
to
see what I'm doing this week. Let's see what I'm doing next weekend.
So, by the way, this Thursday we have one of the hottest, coolest chicks I know, Natasha Wicks. Is on the show with her boyfriend or husband, Kyle Kingsbury. Husband or boyfriend?
Husband.
They're coming on Thursday, and we have a press conference with the guy, with Andre Harrison, and his upcoming opponent in Titan.
Davino Ribeiro.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sad I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, meanwhile, I thought that you were going to fight him. I can't believe that you couldn't get out of your contract for 50 grand.
You can't believe. Never mind, dodgeball.
You have one fight left. Two fights on your contract? No, I thought it was one.
Yeah, me too.
It turns out it was two?
Turns out it was.
Are they trying to line anybody up for you? Dodgeball?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
who fights first?
They're always going
to... CM Punk in the UFC or you and Bellator?
Oh, that'll never fucking happen.
Me and Bellator. I got Rich Chow on the case, right, man. Bellator is
what happens first?
Out.
CB's a new bachelor or you are in Bellator?
I have a fucking... He's in Bellator
already. No. The show The Bachelor.
I'm gonna bet on me.
I said he's in Bellator.
I love Bellator. You think he gets a fight first or do you get to be the next bachelor?
I'm not the next bachelor.
Really? Why not?
Because I have a girlfriend.
You don't think you'd be a good bachelor?
Not
I think that'd be great. This guy has no job, watches MMA video games, people aren't
fucking ready for me.
PlayStation all day long and wrestling.
Oh, by the way, did you guys see that fucking knockout in the Blue Jays Rangers game yesterday? Yeah. CM Punk went and had another back surgery after seeing that right
angle. I would give, honestly.
Was he out on his feet?
He was. They had to hold him up. There was like eight guys holding him up, and there was still a brawl going on. This dude, nice, did you see the video?
Yeah, I saw it.
He got straight overhand right.
But that dude's didn't just hit him with one of the street punches. That's like a technical.
Yeah.
I've been looking for this. I've been waiting for someone to try me, and you're the first guy.
Dude, he hit him so hard, his helmet came off, his glasses came off, and then they had to hold him up. And he's like, come on, man, I want to keep fighting. And he was just more than out on his feet. He looked like Yancey in the third round.
So you don't think you'd be a good bachelor? For real? I would pay money to see CB as the bachelor.
I want 27
girls going on dates with you?
You know, this is really funny because last night I was watching last week's Law & Order Special Victims Unit because that's one of my mom's favorite shows, so I watch it too.
I fucking love Law & Order.
So,
did you guys laugh?
The last week's episode was about a show like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of girls and guys in a house. It was like Real World meets Bachelor. And I'm like, you know, if it's The Bachelor, the girls to win are just going to fuck the guys many times as they have to.
Right.
So in that essence, yes, it'd be good. But to deal with these fucking prissy random people that come into my house.
I would pay money to see you going on dates.
Where the fuck do you guys think we're going
to
go?
That's what makes it funny.
I don't want to sit there and listen to these girls tell me their fucking stories. Even if I was single, which I'm not, I don't give a fuck about any of these. Like,
how come there hasn't been a black bachelor yet? What's up with that?
Because BET doesn't have budget? I don't know.
Yeah.
Seriously, what's up with that?
That's a great question there, Adam. I'm assuming he just run around with his dick out banging white chicks. You know what I mean? It's going to be the same thing. He's going to show up late to interviews and shit.
Have you ever had a girl complain you were too big or no?
Once or twice.
Really?
Yeah.
I get that a lot. I had a girl go say to me, that is not going in me. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I bet you it is.
And then he just put the dildo down.
Yes. I'm telling you. But you, Tyler, ever could you complain you're too big?
That's not something I have to deal with.
Your wife's got a huge vagina?
Whoa.
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball? You're not even saying no? You're supposed to say my wife's very tight. That's the correct answer, Tyler. Okay?
I don't think he wants to talk about his wife's vagina.
The correct answer is to not discuss this on the podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
Yes.
He doesn't want to talk about his wife's vagina. I mean,
why wouldn't you want to do that? There used to be a rumor that black people did not eat pussy. That was like a big, for a while, that was a rumor.
Yeah, that's a big rumor.
Yeah, why is that? Do you think that was spread by white people to get more chicks?
No, I think a lot of black people didn't.
Why is that?
I don't know what's in their head. I really don't. I think a lot of times they were being selfish. And, you know, not really being team players in a sense.
Right.
You know, a lot of times guys, a lot of black dudes were having hoes. They weren't really having the wifeys at home. They was having, you know, you don't just eat everything that's a side piece. You know what I mean? You know, there's a couple theories, really. But you
always go, you go right for it.
Yeah, I'm a team player.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Give and you shall receive.
Now, what if it looked like CB's face? Like if it was that hairy? I'm See, you seem like the kind of guy that you definitely eat vagina, right? You probably no.
Oh, the little man in the boat.
You don't
what?
Really? Why not?
Just don't.
He don't like that juice on his chin draw. He don't like
really, you know, CB?
He don't mix it up.
I have a lot of runny noses.
Oh, come on. That's like my joke.
Exactly.
I know. Come on, man. Yeah, I like it because I like giving the girl the pleasure. You know, I like hearing the girl moan and I like hearing, you know, I like yeah. giving her.
Especially since that's the only way you can get it done.
Listen.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming.
No, but right? I don't know.
You go right in the middle school comeback. Oh, that middle school voice.
Your mom didn't mind.
Oh, yeah? I did. What are you?
So who? So Bellator this week. We got Georgie Karakanyan.
You got Karakanyan and Curran.
And Curran. Who do we like in that fight?
I don't know, man. It's a good fight.
I think Curran's been out a while, though.
So Ring rust is real.
You know what? You know who wins that fight?
The fans.
No.
Oh, who?
Bubba.
Why?
Because I think whoever wins or loses, he's getting one of them, and he's going to run through them.
So if he gets the loser, how's that a win?
Because he's getting a fight, and he gets him. But whoever loses, they're number what, 2 and 3?
I don't know, man.
So he gets one. He still moves up the rankings by running through one. And nah. Curran's been dodging him for what, 6 months?
More? I want to see your rematch with Georgie. I think that's a great fight.
Set it up for the dime bar. They've both been there.
I think it's a good fight for you.
Yeah, man. I think so, too. I think I would be appreciative to fight any one of them.
So I think Georgie wins this fight. And then the other fight that...
How do you see it winning? I really can't call it. I really can't because advantage Georgie on the ground, advantage Curran on his feet.
Yeah, I think Georgie subs him. Yeah, I think he does for some reason. I heard stuff about Georgie... But recently in training with the top guys in the UFC, like the top 2-3 guys in the UFC in his weight class, and Georgie fucking him up in training. I'm not going to say who or what or where, but I've heard he's like looking better than ever. So I'm going to go with Georgie.
This card is stacked, actually.
Let's hear about it.
So the main event is Carvalho defending his middleweight title against Melvin Manhoef.
Carvalho wins this fight. I think
I disagree. I think Carvalho needs to get it to the ground.
He's got
to
touch
to
that
have
chin
a shot.
One time, man. He going to sleep.
But Manhoef, if he lands,
yeah,
fuck.
Okay.
I still watch the Robbie Lawler Manhoef fight, and my shins hurt just watching.
Did Manhoef get knocked out by Joe Schilling?
He did. I was at that fight. He rocked him in the first a bunch of times. Second round, he got hit with one shot, and it was just lights out. But then Schilling got knocked out by Cotto, and then Manhoef knocked out Cotto, and it's just been like. A circle. Marcin Held's back against Dave Jansen. Both guys that have fought Brooks.
The caveman, right? Isn't it one?
Who's no, that's Dave Rickles.
Dave Rickles.
Hmm. You got Joey Beltran fighting Chase Gormley.
Ooh, Chase is what, a tip fighter? Yep. Okay.
And then, Joey's back to heavyweight. So I guess he's putting all that weight back on because he was at middleweight for
Chase
a while.
Chase fighting Titan? Jeez. Okay. So, guys, if Chase beats... the executioner, make sure you tip that man right there. Who else?
I think he's going to because Beltran's been at middleweight for a while, so he's putting on another. Yeah,
Chase is 2 times the size of Beltran.
And you have one prelim fight that matters, Alexis Dufresne and Marlis Kunin, but I don't think it's for the belt anymore. That whole thing, it's your best girl in your entire organization. You're putting her on a fucking Spike.com prelim.
Your only two girls.
No. It was Julia Budd. She dropped out and Dufresne came in.
Wasn't Dufresne in the UFC?
For, I think, like a fight, and she missed weight, got beat up, and then they cut her.
Who'd she fight?
I don't remember, but she had to have been a 135er.
Doesn't she always miss weight?
Is it? Is
she the one that beat Kimmy Couture and came in like 30 pounds heavier or something, and then Kimmy never got paid for that fight? I believe that's what happened. And then didn't she fight?
She fought twice.
Sarah Morris
in the
right?
UFC. She fought Sarah Morris first, and then she fought Marion Renault.
Yeah, she got. I was at both of her fights. She got killed by Renault.
But she did beat Couture.
Yeah, she destroyed Couture. But Couture, in Mexico, Couture still not got paid for that fight.
That's all right. She got paid by Randy, so she's doing okay. Yeah.
Okay, so Bellator this Friday, Saturday, Venator. This is the fight that matters. Mayhem Miller.
we should
fuck Bellator. I'm watching Venator.
We should
I'm watching Bellator.
We should get together and like cook a lasagna, some Chianti, make an Italian night of it.
Stevie, will you stream at your parents' house the Vanator fight?
They're home. They got home yesterday.
Oh, damn.
And I won't be watching Bellator live.
Why?
I'll be at PWG.
Oh, wrestling.
Probably see Ronda and
so what is PWG?
People. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Mm-hmm. It's an independent wrestling promotion out of Reseda.
Who's wrestling in it?
Come on. Like, the names are going to fucking mean anything to you?
What are the big names?
We still want
to
hear.
I know Roderick Strong's wrestling. Which okay. Is,
right. Misha's, I mean, you have a Marina's boyfriend. Go on.
Who?
Marina.
Who?
Okay, go on.
His name's Rod.
Mike Jones.
Roderick Strong.
His name's Rod Strong.
I don't even.
He's
a nice guy.
I bet him a nice guy.
I actually don't even remember like who else is on it.
Come on, you don't know who's fighting at PWG?
No, because the tickets went on sale like a week ago, and I haven't really looked at the card. I just want to go.
Is Hacksaw Jim Duggan fighting?
No.
What about Doink
the Clown?
This
isn't 1983. Doink's dead.
Oh, damn.
Anyways, can I read something I just saw on Twitter?
Sure.
That's kind of relevant. So, an odds maker called Bookmaker has released odds for Cyborg fighting Misha and Ronda.
Okay.
Misha, fighting Misha, Cyborg's a -250 favorite.
Yes.
But fighting Ronda, she's a +220.
Okay.
So they have her as the underdog.
That makes
against
a lot
Ronda.
Of sense.
I don't think so at all.
Well, you know.
And why are we doing hypothetical fucking
I don't think Ronda's going to fight. I'm actually seeing
Ronda. Ronda will never fight
I'm seeing Ronda's mom tomorrow, actually. We're hanging out. I'm helping her with some stuff.
I don't think they'll ever make that.
I don't think Ronda's coming back.
That fight. Oh, Darian Caldwell signed a new contract with Bellator.
Nice. I don't think Ronda's coming back. Do you?
Think she's gone forever?
I think she's done fighting.
I don't think so.
I just saw, I didn't click through the video, but I saw something that just said posted new videos of her training and she looked sharp.
Okay.
I mean, I'd love to see her come back.
So would I, but I don't think she will.
October.
She just signed a 3 Lifetime movie deal.
She's looking at either October or November in Madison Square Garden.
Lifetime movies?
Yeah, she's now producing. She's producing and starring in Lifetime movies.
Oh, that's never a good move for women. They're always getting beat up or kidnapped. Or
I was going to say, is it her playing Jenna and Travis Brown beats her up?
Oh, CB with the shade. The shade, man. Throwing shade. Listen, guys. This is our podcast. Tom Ryan did not call in. I guess we're going to have, I'm going to try to get him in for next week. But keep tuning in. This week, Tuesday night, watch Living with Funny on Oxygen, as well as next Tuesday, Dime Bar Comedy Show this Tuesday, Wednesday at the Hollywood Improv. It's I'm at 10 o'clock. I'm sure Dane Cook's always there, as well as, people that always show up are like Dane Cook. Rogan shows up a lot. What's his name? The director...
Judd Apatow.
Yeah, they all show up. So that's a good show to be at. This weekend I'll be at the HaHa. Coming up, I'm going to be in Calgary. I'm going to be in July. I'm going to be in Fresno. I'm going to be in Hollister. And then I'm going to be in Cleveland. And I don't know. I'm going to be with my girlfriend.
Vegas in July.
I'm in Vegas in July. Yes. Vegas, July 4th weekend. If you want, not the 4th weekend, the week after, the fight weekend. If you want tickets, hit me up, hook you up with some free passes. Thank you to Serena Southpaw. That was a pretty uplifting, cool thing.
She's awesome.
Bubba, what do you got coming up?
I'm going to be at your dime bar thing tomorrow.
Yes.
And that is all.
Are you bringing the wifey?
I don't know yet.
Is your wife like a lot of porn stars going to be there, just so you know?
Yeah, that doesn't matter to me at all. but I don't know if I'm bringing her yet.
Is it tomorrow?
My actual birthday is Friday, but I'm having a show Tuesday. I figure might as well do both. Yeah. It's a really cool bar. They got great videos afterwards. Some hip hop from the '90s and '80s, and they play great music. Ellenberger's gonna be there.
Coming tomorrow.
Jake's coming. The MMA roast is coming. Crew is coming. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be. Gonna be fun, and then we got great comedians as well. I think Brandon T. Jackson is gonna be there, and Michael Blackson I think is performing probably. So
can I double leg Brandon T. Jackson?
Yes, you could double leg Brandon T. Jackson. What do you got coming up, CB?
Next week I will be in Vegas Thursday through Sunday, and I will be cage side for the Almeida Garbrandt fight card. This week I will be in studio whenever we have the next podcast.
And Connor's in town, right?
Yes.
All right.
I don't want everybody else looking for him.
Oh, come on. I think that'll be funny.
I need Laura Howarth to send over those pictures so he shows up in my apartment and comes and hangs out with me.
So you think, so you're going to try to find Connor?
He could save my bum life.
Nice. You got a great life. And Tyler, what do you got coming up?
I'm going to be at your show tomorrow night for your birthday. Yeah. Thursday night, I'm at the Ice House. And then Saturday, I'm going to be up in Davis, California at the Sudwork Brewing Company, doing a bar show up there with James Frey and a couple other guys.
Cool.
And yeah, just hanging out.
Well, thank you, Brian, the sound guy. Brian, by the way, is our new sound guy. Great dude. Gets tons of pussy. Just a really very talkative guy. Listen, so I want to thank Sideshow Network and also Tip a Fighter. Listen, Tip a Fighter. Chase, what's his name? Chase Sherman?
Gormley.
Chase Gormley is fighting this week. Chase Gormley, he's with Tip a Fighter. Throw that guy money, okay? He's busting his ass. The guy works fucking three jobs. He's a male stripper on the weekends, okay? He's a great dude. Chase Gormley, one of my favorite fighters. This dude is like, he helps kids at orphans in his free time. He rescues kittens.
He writes college thesis papers for money.
He writes college thesis papers for money. I'm telling you, tip that guy.
He's playing the harmonica on your nearest street corner.
He actually gave his kidney last week to somebody, okay, who needed a kidney. Chase Gormley. That's how nice of a guy he is. Make sure you tip that guy with tipafighter.com. Tipafighter.com. Thank you, Bubba Jenkins. Thank you, Tyler Bowe. Thank you, CB Gold. Thank you, Serena DeJesus, or whatever the hell the fuck her name is. Listen, thank you guys so much. Take care. Bye-bye.